Ignition sequence start. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Liftoff.
Check, 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 check. I literally just create madness.
Boiler up.
I'm going to go off here.
They don't have a great quarterback.
I got to take a break. I'm getting in trouble.
To win the Big Ten, you first got to win the West.
Bad Bunny.
Have you heard his name in a while?
No.
Has it bothered you?
No.
Defensively, they got to come in with some confidence.
Is that even analytics?
I am in a parking garage. It's kind of lost.
Terrence Shannon, Matthew Meyer, RJ Melendez, Coleman Hawkins.
He's throwing the presentations over and over.
I didn't come here to go 5-7.
I'm so proud of Illinois football right now.
I'm so tired of Joel Embiid.
We're not taking Patrick Corbin.
I want to bet the Bears.
Oh.
You are Reba McEntire's niece.
Roshan Russell.
Coach Bielma.
Dino Long.
Yeah, salute to yourself.
What?
We got all kinds of things for you here.
There's a lot of glass.
Oh.
Guys, we have breaking news.
Uh-oh.
It's the drive.
Schmack dogs.
Welcome into the drive with Tay and Piper, Derek Piper, Kyle Tosk alongside Lante out today, probably out for a few days. We'll keep you informed on that, but Kyle and I holding down the fort. Kyle, welcome into the co-pilot seat.
Appreciate it.
Good welcome afternoon. Into the main camera on the YouTube. My camera is not working. I'm not complaining about that. You don't need to look at me, but
only camera that's operational right now is the one looking at my beautiful face.
That's the excuse we're going with. Kyle, how does it feel? Like, well, we got a basketball game to talk about. We got plenty of time. We got 2 hours to do so. But you're a freshman at U of I. You've really broken on to the radio scene now.
I know.
You're here sitting in studio, co-hosting, on camera, and you're a freshman. Have you even taken a journalism class?
I'm starting to now. First day today.
You don't even need it. Well, I think you should just bet on yourself, walk away from the U of I, say, I've got all the experience I need, and go right into the professional business of radio.
If that was an option, I'd very much enjoy that.
It's funny. I think about my first time on the show. I had graduated U of I, had a degree, 1 year out down in Nashville. I got in contact with Jeremy and they called me for the show. I was so nervous. I was pacing around my apartment. I don't think I sat down the entire interview. I probably said a million times. And here's Kyle as a freshman. He's like 2 weeks in, maybe a week and a half into his first journalism class, and he's co-hosting the show. So that shows you where Kyle's at in his professional journey and where he's at in his life compared to me. But we all just want to be like Kyle. But happy to have you along. Thanks for filling in for Lon. And we got a lot of hoops to talk about today.
Yes, we do. The Illini got a comfortable win last night against the Gophers. I'm happy that I know at halftime they're only up 3, foul trouble, but I'm happy that we didn't have to sweat out a game against the last place Minnesota Gophers last night.
Right. I mean, that's really all that you wanted. It's a game that could only hurt you in the case of your resume in terms of trying to continue this momentum forward. Now you win 4 in a row and jump from 10 days ago, you're at the bottom of the league, didn't have a win in the Big Ten, and all of a sudden now 4-3, climbing, 2 home games now with Indiana and Ohio State coming up and just continuing to build on that. We'll talk a bunch about the individual performances. It was great to have kind of that group effort where some of your performers, in particular with Terrence Shannon, was an off game for them. 2 for 12 from the field, someone that has been a star for you, has really shined in this last recent stretch when you've gotten on a roll here. He had a rough go. Your bigs got in foul trouble. I didn't think Dane played bad by any means. He continues to score really efficiently inside. But to be in a situation, we've been waiting for it. When is the game that Dane Danger and Coleman Hawkins both have 2 early fouls? I would have said Purdue, maybe against Edie, maybe against Dickinson, maybe against Trace. No, it happens against Minnesota, and you have to roll out Brandon Lieb, who didn't hurt you.
He had an offensive rebound and 1. That was pretty exciting.
Yeah, I mean, for him to have the and 1, for him to score a career-high 4 points, I don't want to make too much out of it, but
they interviewed him after the game, didn't they?
He was one of the quote-unquote podium guys. I know that when you're on the road, it's not at the podium, but met with the media courtside along with Matthew Meyer, along with Dane Deja, and just feel good for someone that's put the time in, third year in the program, hasn't played a whole lot. I was looking it up. He had only logged 2 minutes max in any high major game to this point, plays a career high 12 last night, including the final 9 minutes of the first half. And while he was able to, like you said, put back and one, he did miss the free throw. Meyer hit him on a pick and roll, had another finish inside, and a block on Dawson Garcia, someone that was a McDonald's All-American, just came off a career high 28 at Ohio State. So Brandon Leib, the savior of the Illinois program, not really, but he helped you along with some of the others off the bench, Ty Rogers, being able to play, obviously Jaden Epps, who's playing starter quality minutes off the bench, but especially after Shannon went to the bench with two, in addition to Hawkins and Danger, it was really Matthew Meyer and some bench pieces, some role players that were able to kind of weather that storm. Meyer hit two threes late in the first half to make sure you had a lead there at halftime. And a close game at half then turned out to be yet another blowout there in Williams Arena. And this has not been a good Minnesota team here in recent years, but that's been a place in the past that can give teams some issues. Illinois has now essentially, I know they came just shy of it because of a late three by the Gophers, but essentially blown out Minnesota by 20 the last three times they walked in that building. And like you said, Kyle, that's really what you hoped for. And you just kind of had a business-like, take care of business approach. And you did that by coming home with a win.
Yeah. And I think, I know people, you can't really make a ton of the games against Nebraska and Minnesota the last couple weeks, but I do think that the way that they've won in blowing those teams out on the road, not taking them lightly, does kind of show how far the team has come and some of the changes that they've made, whether it's mentally or whatever it was. Because correct me if I'm wrong, after the Penn State game, I think there was some comment from Brad where he was like, someone in our locker room just said, oh man, we just lost to Penn State. And that's a terrible mentality to have, that I have to get that type of mindset out of these guys. And so I think being able to take care of some of these lesser opponents and not walk in and think that you can just show up and beat them shows some of the things that have kind of turned for this team.
Right. This has been a team that hasn't had any problem getting up for the biggest of games. We saw that against UCLA, Texas, even Virginia. Like we said, that was a battle down the stretch. Illinois had a lead in those final 3 minutes. It just ultimately escaped from them. But the big ones they've been ready for, of course, most recently at home against Michigan State. And to be able to flip the switch where it seemed like the Penn State game for sure, like you referenced, even the Missouri game where, like, yeah, should we really get up for this rivalry game? Do we really have to bring our A game? And look, they were going through some stuff in terms of not being able to have an offense that was working for them. But really just kind of the appearance from the outside, the first and foremost thing that came to mind was this team's not playing all out. This team's not playing with an urgency. This team doesn't have the ultimate buy-in, just the diving on the floor, the hustle plays. Like, that was missing in those games, and you could even say the same thing about Northwestern. And now there isn't the overlooking of an opponent where there could be a trap of going to Nebraska where they hammered Iowa in that building. They took Purdue to overtime. Illinois didn't mess around with that. They blew them off the floor. And same deal with Minnesota, where Minnesota's a bad team. They're in the 200s in the net rankings. They're below a lot of mid-major, even low-major teams. But they did just come off a win at Ohio State. And they have a couple of talented guys in Dawson Garcia, Jamison Battle. Battle never got going. Garcia had a decent night. Ultimately, you know, final stats, 17 points. But you'll live with that. On the whole, Kyle, as you look at the entirety of that performance, and maybe kind of just from a micro level, if you're going to focus in on one individual, is there any one thing in particular out of that game that encouraged you the most, whether it be Ty's performance? That was Ty's most productive game all season in general, but really especially against a high major opponent. The fact of Meyer, what he continues to do, mentioned Leib, Sincere had a nice night, Jaden Epps. Anybody in particular that, like, front of mind stood out to you?
I would say those other two freshmen in Sincere and Ty, I thought were particularly impressive, not just because I thought they're both really good defensively. Ty, especially, you mentioned battle not getting going. I think a big part of that was Ty Rogers was on him, playing really good defense on him. But also the fact that they each had 8 rebounds, Sincere 7 points, Ty 8 points. They were both a lot more aggressive than we've seen offensively. I know some of the shots that Sincere took were like a little ambitious, but hey,
it's
at least he's being aggressive. He's looking to provide a spark. That one take that he had in transition where he went up with the right hand that kind of forced Minnesota to call a timeout, I thought that was something we haven't seen from him like at all this year. So I thought those two guys are, I think both of them are really starting to get a lot more comfortable in their roles now that Sincere's been in the starting lineup. Ty has consistently seen his minutes go up. He's not just waiting on the bench playing 2 minutes like we've seen a couple times. I think both those guys are really starting to get more comfortable in their roles, and I thought they were both really good last night.
Sincere, if he doesn't make that circus shot.
That one was funny.
After missing 2 at the rim contested, I don't know that we see him the rest of the night.
I couldn't believe that went in.
I mean, within a span of like 3 or 4 minutes, early second half, he had 2 takes to the rim that were aggressive, which I commend him for not having any fear, any willingness to kind of say, oh, I'm just a freshman. I'm not going to go out there and attack. I'm going to be a little tentative. He's going to not let any opportunity go by the wayside. Of course, you got to pick and choose a little bit, especially when you're on the same floor as Matthew Meyer, Terrence Shannon, Dane Danger, guys that need to get the ball. But the fact that the first 2 didn't go in, didn't think they were terrible shots. They were just drives of the bucket that were aggressive, and they got challenged. And he's someone that at this point in his career is not finishing contested layups at a high rate. Then the third one was, I'm going to go to the lane. I'm going to get caught there and awkwardly pivot and just off balance, just float one up. And luckily, it kissed off the glass and went in. Because, again, like if you string those 3 in a row, and Brad's going to say, look, that's you're hurting us too much. But that one goes in. And then, like you mentioned, not long after that, Ty has a block at the rim. Sincere corrals the rebound, able to push it coast to coast, to finish with the right hand at the rim. That was a really good-looking, smooth, strong take. And he also hit a 3 in the first half. So right. For him to have 7 points, 8 rebounds, really active. He had 3 assists, no turnovers. So that was good out of Sincere for sure. And then Ty Rogers, season highs with 8 points, 8 rebounds. I thought that was just a really great spot for him. Minnesota, bottom feeder in the league, but also the worst defense in the Big Ten. So for him to be able to have opportunities to open up around the basket. I think we've seen flashes here, like the Wisconsin game that we've been able to point to. I thought he made really good moves. He just had everything but the finish. Yeah. It kind of rimmed out. He's starting to get more consistent there. Now it is going to be, can you carry some moments against Nebraska and Minnesota? And last night was more than just a moment. Like he had a really good game. Can you take that and make an impact against an Indiana? Can you make an impact against an Ohio State? Can you do it against a legit opponent here coming up in the schedule? Because a lot of the conversation, we'll get to what Brad Underwood said last night in the post game, was that now Illinois is finding that depth where they have some pieces off the bench. Of course, they've had the exit of Sky Clark and the fact that Luke Goody hasn't been able to get healthy quite yet. We're going to see him soon, hopefully by the end of this month with the foot injury. But and then Zachary Perrin is on scholarship but not playing quite yet. Nicola Moretti is going to show up here, but Brad said the last night, not expected to play this season. So they have some guys on the roster that you're already crossing off of not going to play. But now with Ty's emergence, with Sincere playing well, obviously we've seen Jaden. Maybe this team does have some depth, but it is kind of still a little wait and see for Ty in that can he make that kind of an impact or somewhat similar against an Indiana Ohio State? Do you think he's ready for that, or you still got to wait and see?
I think he's ready. I mean, I guess I do have to see, like these games that he said, I think the 2 games that you can circle and say he's really come in, made an impact and played well have been Nebraska, Minnesota. So I would like to see against some of these more physical, more talented guys on an Indiana or an Ohio State, how he fares. But I mean, he's got all the tools to be able to really cause problems to some of these teams, especially defensively. Like, they don't even need him to score a single bucket to be effective against in some of these big games. And I think that really, and waiting for Luke Goody to come back, if he's still not back yet over the next couple of weeks, he should see quite a few minutes off the bench. So I think that the opportunity is there for him. And I think everything we've seen indicates that he should be able to at least defensively cause some problems for these higher level teams.
Yeah, I think it's a great point. And like you said, as I was watching, I even went back afterwards and was looking at some of Jamison Battle's shots that he took. And early on, he saw Meyer, then a little bit of Shannon, but then it was Ty Rogers on him for a good portion of that game. And that was great because that's what I would have expected out of Ty, is first and foremost defensive impact, then someone that's going to go get the loose balls, is going to compete on the glass, is going to do those effort plays. And then if I'm going down the list, scoring isn't high on there, but it's something that you're going to kind of lean on those other things with Ty Rogers as a role player, as an effort guy, energy guy. And then if he does give you some scoring, which he did last night, and I do think that he's built well enough to finish through contact. He's a pretty good athlete. And if he's able to finish around the rim, I think like one of his cuts to the basket where Shannon's coming off a ball screen and Ty Rogers baseline cuts and is able to finish there, that's an easy play for him. It's not one of those where you're asking him to create his own shot or make a jump shot. He does need to make free throws at a little bit higher rate here going forward if possible. But yeah, I think that especially if you would have looked at the Indiana matchup prior to the Race Thompson injury, you would have said, oh, you know, maybe a guy you throw on Race for a handful of minutes. You look at Ohio State, like Justice Suing, Bryce Sensabaugh, guys that are really physically strong in that wing spot. I think that Ty can help you in that rotation. Obviously, Meyer's going to draw a lot of that, Terrence Shannon as well. But for Ty to be trending upward when it looked concerning early, not that people completely wrote him off early in the year, but it was kind of a little bit of a shock to the system where you say Team USA guy, top 50 guy, someone that had a lot of buzz in the off season going into the non-conference and then didn't look like he was ready to play. All of a sudden now that's started to turn, and that's been great to see. Jaden Epps, another freshman on the note of freshmen, and we are hearing from a few of you on the U of I Atlanta League text line. Patrick said, with Epps being a proven bucket getter and a point guard, why is Harris still starting over him? It's a good question. I think that he's still playing starter level minutes. Like, he's high 20s, maybe even 30 on a given night. I know that Brad loves Sincere's on-ball defense, especially to start the game. Like, for a team that had a little bit of an issue with that urgency, that grit, that toughness right off the bat, Sincere just kind of injects that into your veins, right into the...
See You at Home has their one winter night. The first Friday in February is the venue See You.
Anyways, so Jaden is still going to be out there for a big chunk of time. The offense is running through him a good amount, where he's at least in terms of having his opportunities to get downhill. Kyle, would you change it up? Would you look to put Jaden in the starting lineup? Maybe that's something that clicks in at some point before the year is done, but I'm fine with right now Sincere being out there, although you do have the caveat. I think on that note, Sincere being a little bit limited offensively, I know Brad would say, okay, if I throw Jaden in that starting lineup,
that's what I was just about to say,
then you're not going to really have that offensive punch off the bench if your next pivots are like, all right, let me send in Sincere and Ty, guys that you're creating a lineup that all of a sudden has maybe two non-shooters.
Yeah, that's – I was going to say exactly that, where I think we've heard Brad say before that he really values bringing offense off his bench in that second unit. A bench right now, this is before Luke Goody returns, of Harris, Rogers, and RJ Melendez, who's really just kind of in a prolonged shooting funk that I don't
He's
know.
Three for his last 26 from three.
Yeah, so those three guys coming in your second unit off the bench, I can see why a guy like Jaden being in with those guys would definitely elevate your offense. And I just don't want to change anything from they've won four in a row. Everything seems to be clicking right now. Guys are starting to settle into their roles now. I don't The last thing I think they need right now is another shakeup of the lineup.
Right. And Adam on the U of I line and league text line said, one of the things I found most encouraging that might be getting overlooked is Jaden's ability to get to the rim and finish. You can see the growth in his game, which is great to see. Yeah, absolutely. The fact that you come off a night against Michigan State where he got to the rim, because he seems like he can get there against just about anybody, didn't finish that well against the Spartans other than that late scoop layup, the drive-by on Tyson Walker, which is a big bucket, kind of sealed the deal there in the final closing minutes against Sparty. But last night, 5 for 9 from the field, was able to get in the lane, was able to finish. He has kind of that ability to, as Brad has described, just have different angles and finishes, high kisses off the glass, just good touch, and someone that's physically strong too, someone that can not get bumped off or be made to be off balance because like an older physical guard will check him a little bit, or you go into a big and he's not going to be able to finish there. So for Epps, I was looking last night, Big Ten play, I think he's 49% two-point field goal defense or two-point field goal offense. Pretty good for a freshman, knowing that the high rate in which he's taking those IO, which I know that IO, we're talking about volume, higher volume his freshman right. year, but in a similar range, like 48-49% shooting from two, and IO had more size to him to be able to finish. So great from Jaden, and I think that is, if you're going to look at the difference between what Sky was doing at point guard versus Jaden, Jaden's ability to consistently get in the lane, be able to finish, be able to cause breakdowns and have shooters come open and whatnot, that's been great to see. A lot more to break down with this game. We're going to play some Brad Underwood. I met with the media last night in Minneapolis. Credit to Joey Wagner, Illini Inquirer, who was there for us, had the video, asked some questions that we want to get to and let you be able to hear. Matthew Meyer also spoke to the media after a big game. We haven't talked a ton about Matt. I do want to hit on him because what he's put together now is a very consistent stretch, a ability to impact the game at a high level at both ends of the floor, less mistakes defensively as we were highlighting yesterday, still has the blocks, and just the shot-making and ability to get downhill has been a huge boost, especially on a night last night when Terrence Shannon did not have his A game. So we'll do that. We'll hear from Brad. Before we cut to break, got to do a little bit of business. Tell you about Busey. As the needs of your customers grow, Busey continues to expand its digital footprint, allowing you to bank when and how you want. Whether it's personal or business banking, opening an account or scheduling an appointment, you can do it all from the convenience of your home. With Busey's eBank, their online, mobile, and banking tool, you can check your balances, you can view your transactions, transfer funds, pay bills, and more. They also have a mobile app, which you can get deposit checks, provide travel plans, anything that you need at your fingertips of your phone. You can open an account online, save a trip to the bank, apply for new checking and saving accounts online. You can also, if you would like to get a in-person meeting, sit down there at Busey, you can go online and schedule your appointment. Don't worry about calling. Set that up online. So much to do and get taken care of online with Busey. Visit Busey.com to get started today. Whether you want to sign up for your online account or just access all that is there, once again, at your fingertips. Busey, member FDIC.
When you're buying a battery, it's important to look beyond just the price and make sure you're buying a quality battery. So when you're buying one from the big box store, make sure you ask the question, what's the date on this battery? Is it dependable? Sometimes the big box stores have batteries that have been sitting on the shelf for years. Or you can just come to Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable, and buy your battery from the people who only do batteries. Interstate Batteries at 2504 North Madison Champaign, way out there, but totally worth the drive. How much is dependable worth to you? Interstate Batteries open 6 days a week.
Get ready for the 7th annual Champaign County Area Restaurant Week. This 9-day celebration features our diverse and award-winning culinary scene with Filipino, Indian, Cambodian, Thai, Mexican, Caribbean, Italian, Zambian, vegetarian, vegan, soul food, farm-to-table, and standard American fare. You'll be able to find a restaurant, share your experience, and dine in or take out. It's Restaurant Week, January 26th. 27th through February 4th. For details, go to visitchampaignecounty.org.
Wouldn't it be nice to visit a car dealership where you didn't feel like you were at an auction? Or didn't feel like you were being taken to the cleaners?
I'm going to make them an offer he can't refuse.
Welcome to Sarah Champagne. At Sarah, they offer a one-price promise. Every vehicle at a fair price, no negotiation, only the best price. Sarah Champagne, Honda, BMW, GMC, Buick, and Subaru. S-E-R-R-A, Champagne.com.
The new year is a perfect time to start fresh. If you want to see a brighter you in 2023, stop by your local Merle Norman Cosmetic Studio for a free express facial. This quick self-care service enhances your at-home skincare regimen and helps relieve stress. Treat yourself to some me time today. Express facials available at Merle Norman, 706 West Market View Drive, over by Subway. Free express facials based on schedule availability. Local promotion may apply. Length of service can vary based on skin assessment and products used.
BMW, Buick, GMC, Honda, and Subaru. Welcome to Sarah Champagne. We can handle all your car repairs on site, including paintless dent repair, bumpers, windshields, everything in between. We have an amazing selection of new or pre-owned vehicles to choose from. Shop from home and buy online or reserve your vehicle before it hits our website or dealership. Sarah Champagne is home of the Sarah One Price Promise, delivering an honest and transparent buying experience. Hurry in or shop online at sarahchampagne.com.
Illini fans, your place to pregame is Pia's, with great drink specials and food before Illinois hits the basketball court at the State Farm Center. Take the free Illini shuttle, leaving 30 minutes before each home game. Get there early to ensure your seat, because Pia's free Illini shuttle only makes one run. Stay in good spirits with your plastic cup on the bus on the way to the game. It's Pia's, 1609 West Springfield Avenue in Champaign. Go Illini!
Since we opened our doors, UC Bank has been committed to the communities we call home. Building financial wellness, UC is proud to offer customized lending strategies and innovative resources to our vibrant communities. UC Bank, building community one family, one street, one city at a time. Member FDIC, proud to be the official bank of the Fighting Illini.
Hey Illini fans, it's your girl Chinee Ogumike. Catch Lante and Derek Piper weekdays from 4 to 6 right here on ESPN Radio 93.5.
Round 2 of Can Kyle Guess the Artist.
Please stop.
For this musical drop.
Round 2 of Kyle failing that.
I wouldn't have. This isn't as easy, but it is the same guy. It's Eminem. Real Slim Shady. Kyle, your homework, since you're dropping out of school because you have enough radio experience, is to study up on some late 90s, early 2000s Eminem.
Will do.
All right.
I feel obligated to now, because I know you're going to keep quizzing me. So
I apologize for that. I'm not trying to make you look bad. I'm just kind of, it's an interesting case study for a guy that is, I don't even want to say probably how many years older I am than you, at least a decade. And it's scary how little you know about Eminem, but that's probably more about me than it is about you.
I don't really know what to say, but.
You don't have to say anything. We'll make this about the Illini basketball team. Four in a row, gets it done last night, 78-60, shot 50% from the field. Once again, held an opponent down from three. That's been a big trend here. 3 for 13 for the Gophers from long range. Dawson Garcia, like I said, 17 points. Talon Cooper at 16, but really didn't get enough help to be able to keep pace with Illinois as they exploded in the second half. 43-28 was the difference there after halftime. Comfortable win for Illinois. Brad Underwood was a very happy camper. I know he called it kind of survival, which it was in the sense of foul trouble early, close game, but he should be pretty happy overall. Here is your Illini head coach.
It's always good to get a road win. I was very, very pleased the first half tonight. It felt like a little bit of survival with the foul problems we had, but I couldn't be happier with the job Brandon Lee, Ty Rogers, Jaden, you know, those guys gave us a lead at half, and you know, it's never a very comforting feeling for me to have Coleman in foul trouble. I picked up two really cheap ones on slaps. But you know, we lose Coleman and Bain. Brandon stepped in, did a great job, got a couple easy baskets, and was impactful on the defensive side. So a great team win. I thought the second half was really solid, really good, all the way around. I thought we got opportunities to get the ball where we wanted them. We got layups, we got points in the paint, and then limited them to one shot, and then 27% shooting. They hit a three late. Otherwise, we did an unbelievable job of taking the three-point line away from them. But again, all in all, really solid night. Anytime you get a win on the road in the Big Ten is a challenge, and it was a team effort tonight.
Kyle, I'll submit another starting lineup question. Do you think Brandon Leib could start alongside Dane Danger?
Maybe against Eastern Illinois or whoever else they played back in early November.
Yeah.
This Thursday against Indiana, I would say no.
Probably not. And I think it would be very alarming if you put yourself back in that same situation of Dane and Coleman getting two early fouls and Brandon has to, like, not to knock him, but for him to go up against what's been an All-American big man in Trayce Jackson-Davis would not be ideal, even if you're going to look at Ohio State and Zed Key, who's a physical guy, could really move Brandon off his spots. Not to say that he was going up against a bum last night. I mean, Dawson Garcia is a pretty good player. I don't want to take anything away from Brandon Leib, but the fact that Illinois was able to find a way through that, there are just these moments in the season where you face different kinds of adversity or different kinds of challenges on a given night. Maybe your star player's off, or you do have foul trouble, or for whatever reason, there is a situation that presents itself that you need someone else to answer that call. Like last year, I know he's not here anymore, but like Omar Payne at Nebraska, when Kofi was in foul trouble, was able to have a really good game and boost you there. Or Brandon Podziemski at Northwestern last year with RJ, those two guys coming off the bench and closing game that veterans weren't playing well in that game. Pods hit a big three, RJ had a nice cut. So to be able to just have guys that big picture may not give you a ton over the course of a year, to be able to answer the call in the moment, make sure you didn't take a loss, make sure that game doesn't get dicey down the stretch. And as Brad mentioned, for Illinois to go into half of the lead, now I think they were up four or five when Dane went to the bench with about 9 minutes to go there in the second half. Shannon then got his second foul somewhere around 4 minutes left there, and Illinois' lead it was cut down to about two. But then for them to essentially lose Danger and Shannon, who have been your two best players here in the last three games during your win streak, and still have a three-point lead at the half, speaks highly to the guys that were out there on the floor. And I do want to transition there. We can talk more about depth, which Brad spoke on, and I know that's the next clip that I have lined up. But I want to switch to the biggest reason I think that you had the lead, which was Matthew Meyer. Meyer early was able to get to the rim. I think that's something that there have been times when he has just kind of floated on the perimeter and have been a guy, I said yesterday, that just wants to kind of chuck threes, that wants to be, hey, if the opening's there, I'm going to shoot it. I thought he did that a little bit too much at Nebraska. But someone that's a good athlete that can take it off the bounce. They ran offense through him in particular when Shannon was out and Dane, and was able to get the ball to leave on that pick and roll and make some good decisions. So, and then defensively, two early blocks in that game, has put together a ridiculous stretch. Now he has 17 blocks over the last six games. He's playing the best basketball of his career when you look at the consistency, when you look at just kind of the overall total of the stats offensively, the defense. This is the guy that you thought you were getting, and maybe even, I'll admit, we talked about it in November and in December. Would you ever see peak Matthew Meyer this year? We're starting to see it now.
Some type of switch flipped with him. I think right around the time where he was making some of those post-game comments that were making you question some things, I think right around that time, some type of switch just flipped that has gotten him totally locked in on both sides of the floor. He's just playing with so much confidence. And you see these moments sometimes. Last night was a great example where he knows that he has to be the alpha on the floor, take over, get Illinois some buckets because they're struggling at times. We saw it against Michigan State too when he went on that single-handed run that got State Farm Center going nuts. But yeah, I mean, he looks awesome right now. He's scoring from every level. I mean, him getting to the basket has been super impressive because we knew he was going to throw a bunch of threes up.
Mm-hmm.
But the fact that he is just taking guys off the bounce, physical, getting to the basket, and yeah, what they showed some type of breakdown of his numbers on the broadcast last night where like first eight games he averaged 5 points, last 10 he's averaged like 15 on 50-40 shooting. I mean, something has just completely flipped with him where he all of a sudden is playing some of the best basketball maybe of his career, like he said.
Yeah, definitely. And it's also the energy. I mean, just not only defensively, but like his rebounding energy,
yeah.
Like his consistent engagement, his team basketball mentality now to take less hero ball shots. He's still going to take a couple of heat checks. You want him to have that freedom to be able to.
He's made some of them. Recently.
I mean, he made the one during that stretch where you had the two big threes against Michigan State. And he didn't have much space on at least one of them, if not both. And you want him to be able to feel like he can hunt those out at times. But it's just been more of a, I don't know, more of a commitment to, I think early on he almost shied away from leadership. He almost shied away from.
Frankie at the gym says, "Do you even lift, bro?" Frankie at the Champaign County Humane Society.
Kyle, do you even lift, bro?
I need to be better.
keep interrupting my train of thought here. Matthew Meyer, like, I think that he shied away from the leadership. I think he wanted to focus on getting himself right, which I understand if there was a little bit of a panic. Like, I've come to Illinois in my last year in college, was just at the NBA draft combine, and all of a sudden I got this all these things going on physically. I'm not acclimating as quickly as I wanted to, but now he is just seeming to be that alpha dog, having more urgency, having more buy-in. Clearly him and Brad have been able to smooth things out. That relationship is starting to show and some of the things that Matt's saying about Brad and how he's been able to stick with it and understand that, hey, he's going to coach me hard, but he's been able to push me and get us in a great spot here. So the response from Matt, I had the stats. Last night, first career double-double, 19 points, 10 rebounds.
I was shocked by that. No double-doubles at Baylor with his size.
Yeah.
Wow.
I know. I mean, he's someone that has put up some good numbers in the past. It's just, I think the 10 rebounds, I wonder, we'll have to effort that maybe during the break, how close he actually got to a double-double. But, yeah, 19 and 10, great to see for him. Both game highs, and then, like I said, first career double-double. Over the last 9 games, he's averaged about 16 points per game. In the last 5, he scored all in double figures. That's the longest streak of his career, is 5 straight games in double figures. And like I said earlier, 17 blocks in his last 6 games. He's third, if you look at KenPom, third highest block rate in Big Ten play across the league. So that's a pretty big deal for someone that's not a center, that's just a 6'9", I mean, I say just, 6'9" athletic forward, but making an impact in a variety of ways. Brad spoke about Matt's bucket-getting talent and just what he's brought to this team here recently.
Yeah, Matt is a good bucket-getter, and it doesn't always have to be out of actions. He's got the ability to find an opportunity to score. And tonight it was a lot in the paint. We loved, you know, we can take advantage of mismatches with Matt. We can run actions to Matt as we did the Michigan State game. I mean, the entire second half was mostly actions with him. And, you know, in a night where TJ wasn't spectacular offensively, he was defensively, and Matt picked up that load. And then, you know, Dane was really solid, and I would have loved to get Dane a few more looks. But, you know, the game was kind of in a good flow. So, all in all, you know, Matt can score the ball and inside and out and takes advantage of his size and athleticism to do that.
Phone line's ringing. Maybe it's the guy that's going to fix the commercial issue. Who knows? Matthew Meyer also caught up with the media. He spoke about his ability to fight through those struggles, the issues with the physical ailments, and then just kind of any confidence issues that were having to be worked through. And Joey Wagner asked him, you know, how did you get through that? And Matthew Meyer responded. Here.
Well, I have a really strong faith. I knew that at some point it was going to turn around, but the reason that it's turned around is because I've just been working with Fletch. I've had a lot of stuff wrong with my body, and we're finally getting it right. So I've never felt better in my career with my body, and I'm just excited that we're winning right now and I'm playing well.
That is Matthew Meyer, who also caught up with the media in addition to Dane Danger and Brandon Lieb as well. Did not have time to clip those up. Maybe we can play a little bit as we go along throughout the week if you want to hear some from Brandon or from Mr. Danger. We've heard a lot from Dane here recently because he's played that darn well. So great for Dane to be able to go back to his home state. Technically, he was born in Chicago, I believe, but moved to Minnesota and played high school there. Was in the same class as Dawson Garcia. It was a really talented one up there in Minnesota. Jalen Suggs, Dawson Garcia, Dane, all out of the state of Minnesota in 2020. Another clip that I wanted to get to, Brad spoke a little bit more. On the note, Matt weighed in, you know, what's been different and how has he been able to fight through that tough start. Brad mentioned what's been key for him to finally come into his own, get through those early stretches versus now.
Conditioning. I mean, I'm just going to be very real. Matt's very talented. It's not something that he hasn't been able to do. It's just, his ability to want to work and buy in. We kind of laugh at him that he's got a six-pack now, you know, for abs. And his before and after pictures are remarkable. That's a tribute to Adam Fletcher and Palmer Johnson and the job they've done with him. But Matt's put in the time, and he said it's his first career double-double. So that's surprised me a little bit, but again, he's in great shape.
Kyle, one more I wanted to get to before we take another break. Jaden Epps, how impressed have you been? What was your expectation for Jaden Epps going into the year? And now that you've seen him be able to really come on over the last month or so, how much has that impressed you, and how did it compare to what you kind of expected out of Jaden going into the season?
I'm super impressed, especially because coming into the year, I thought he'd have a big impact, especially off the bench, the scoring. But you thought that Sky Clark would probably take hold of the starting point guard spot. So now that he's gone, I think you probably have better perspective on this than me, but it almost feels like since that point, a weight's been lifted from him where he is just more comfortable with the ball in his hands. He knows that he really is the only true point guard on the team now, so he has to take on a little more of that initiator role. And yeah, I mean, some of his drives to the basket, he just looks so confident and comfortable right now. I get excited imagining what he can be in like 2 years. Like, I think he could be a 20-point-a-game guy where, you know, you look at he's at the top of the Big Ten in scoring in a couple seasons. The sky's the limit for him.
Yeah, definitely. I know the Brad's compared him to a Frank Mason type, someone who has that physical strength that can just go get you one off the bounce. And even you think about a freshman, Trent Frazier, who came in and was just a bucket getter right off the bat, was fearless and ability to come in and put the ball in his hands and know that he's going to go out there and get you some off the dribble. And he is able to get in there at will. I haven't seen a team. I can't remember a team that's been able to bottle him up and keep him out of the paint. Again, like, there have been some squads that have challenged him at the rim and made it a little bit tougher for him to finish. But as far as getting into the lane, breaking down a defense, having even help defenders react and say, okay, I got to be able to show a little bit of help, or just kind of the gravity, as you call it, of that defense collapsing when the ball's there in the paint. I don't know that anybody here recently in particular has stopped Jaden from getting to where he wants to go. Brad spoke on that last night about Jaden and his ability to get to the rim.
Yeah, that's a gift. I'd like to say I coached that up, but that's a gift. And you're born with that. And I'm shocked every time he misses. And, you know, Fletch and I were talking at breakfast today. You know, Fletch thinks he can be in his career, you're one of the strongest guys pound for pound that's ever played. And he's got a great body where he can absorb a hit. And then he's got so many different release points with his shot. So it's just really soft. But he's great at getting a crease. He's got a great pull-up jump shot. We all know he can shoot the cover off of it from three, but he's just truly got a gift.
Don't look now, Kyle. Don't look now, but Brad Underwood might have done it again. He might have done it again. A disappointing result, Bragan writes. Things get a little dicey. Start to question where this thing's going. And here's a winning streak that has a chance to get a lot longer in January. I want to talk about that when we come back. Brad addressed that. Any comparisons between years of what he saw in previous seasons, flipping the switch midseason and be able to get on the right track and really gain that momentum as you get right back into Big Ten play. They've done that yet again. We'll see if they can continue that later this week against Indiana and Ohio State. A big homestand coming up, but maybe he's done it again, and that'd be a great thing for this Illini basketball program. We'll talk about that next. It is The Drive.
Here's what new customers are saying about Interstate Batteries.
It's nice to see capable and helpful associates. They did a top-notch job.
They were easy to talk to and explained everything.
Service was prompt and I was a walk-in. Total service time was only like 20 minutes. I highly recommend Interstate Batteries.
Interstate Batteries. Outrageously dependable. How much is dependable worth? Experience them for the first time at 2504 North Mattis. Way out there, but worth the drive. Interstate Batteries. Outrageously dependable.
Visit InterstateBatteries.com.
Get ready for the 7th Annual Champaign County Area Restaurant Week. This 9-day celebration features our diverse and award-winning culinary scene with Filipino, Indian, Cambodian, Thai, Mexican, Caribbean, Italian, Zambian, vegetarian, vegan, soul food, farm-to-table, and standard American fare. You'll be able to find a restaurant, share your experience, and dine in or take out. It's Restaurant Week, January 27th through February 4th. For details, go to visitchampaigncounty.org.
PDR Automotive in Urbana is a locally owned repair shop, and they've now serviced over 250,000 vehicles in their near 50-year history. Now, that's more than four times the size of a sold-out Memorial Stadium. It's more than all Division I athletes in the country combined. That's more than the entire population of Champaign County. That's more than, well, you get the idea. When you turn the key and the car won't run, call 367-9481. They are what's best for your truck or car. They are PDR.
See You at Home has their one winter night, the first Friday in February, as the venue See You serves as host to sponsors and volunteers to raise funds for those without a home. The keynote speaker, George Dennehy, will talk about overcoming adversity with a powerful story of hope. Visit his site, thatarmlessguy.com. Stevie J Broadcasting is proud of the awareness created starting at 6 p.m. Friday, February 3rd. For details, visit seeyouathome.us.
How are you helping support the next generation of leaders and change makers? In 1 hour a week, you can offer the support and guidance a young person needs by becoming a one-to-one mentor in the Champaign-Urbana Public Schools. Join over 450 local adults who are mentoring children. Check out the website cu1to1.org for more information about how you can make mentoring a part of your life.
Carl works every day to improve the health of community members across the region, and it would not be possible without team members like Dwayne Linton, a nationally certified nurse in the emergency department at Carl Foundation Hospital.
I work with a team of people who really care about what they do and are very flexible and adaptive in rapidly changing critical situations, and I would trust any of them at any time.
If you're looking for an opportunity to serve your community like Dwayne in a supportive environment, visit carl.org/careers.
Hey, Illini fans, it's Max Kellerman. Catch Lon Tay and Derek Piper weekdays from 4 to 6 right here on ESPN Radio 93.5.
Back on The Drive with Tay and Piper, Derek Piper, Kyle Tosk. as I mentioned before the break, Brad Underwood has had a tendency, a great one at that, to get things rolling here January into February, have your team playing the best basketball they possibly can momentum-wise as you roll towards that NCAA tournament, and especially if you want to compete for a league title, which, of course, Illinois would love to jump back in that mix. See if Purdue's going to have to take a loss or two here coming up. We'll see if that actually happens. We'll talk more about Purdue. I wanted to get some thoughts on the league as a whole. We had an exercise that we were kind of spitballing on. We'll fill you in as we go along if we are able to get to that today. But in comparison to recent years, so 2019 took a disappointing loss to Missouri. Illinois, after that, was 8-4, then lost their first game back in the Big Ten, similar to Northwestern. Now it was Michigan State on the road, so a tougher test. But anyways, that was 9-5, 1-2 start in the league. And then Brad Underwood's squad went on to win 7 straight games there in January, catch a heater, which Illinois could do. You look at home against Indiana, against Ohio State, that'd be 6 in a row. Then I believe you go on the road to Wisconsin, tough place to play, but maybe you get a 7-game winning streak out of this one. You look at the following season, lost the bragging rights game in Columbia at a tight one in 2020. You were 4-2, then lost at Rutgers, so then you were 5-3. And then Illinois went on to win the next 4, lost 2 at home, and then won another 7 in a row. So essentially won 11 out of 13 after that Rutgers game. So again, long winning streaks in the middle of the Big Ten season, being able to come off of some early adversity, some disappointing losses, and be able to find it. And even in that 2019-20 season, similar to this year, completely scrapped his offense. He did that now. He has it rolling again. Maybe, just maybe, Brad has done it again. I know that Joey Wagner asked him, do you compare the years at all between when it happened before, getting it going here in January versus now, which is obviously happening? Here was Brad's response.
I don't look in the past very often. I just don't. I look at us getting better every day. I look at growth today. I look at growth, you know, with our bench. I look at how players are growing. I think a lot of that has to do with no school and Christmas break and being able to practice a bunch and watch a lot of film and be impactful. But that's the blessing we have with no classes. But I don't know. I just know we're getting better every day, and we're playing with a more concerted mindset about being a team and not having any other agenda other than trying to win the game.
With the win last night, Illinois has elevated to 21st in the net. I believe they're 23 going into last night. At one point, I believe after the Northwestern loss, they were 50th in the net. So they've really climbed almost 30 spots here recently. They're up to, I believe, also 20th in KenPom. We'll talk more about the Big Ten standings, but they put themselves in a solid spot there. And Kyle, you had an interesting stat, kind of overall big picture where they're at compared to recent years too.
The last 3 seasons through 18 games, Illinois has been 13-5. One of those teams is a 1 seed in the NCAA tournament. The other one won the Big Ten.
4 seed.
And now we got this one. So history.
You're staying on a good track.
History of these Brad Underwood teams tells us that this one will be just fine.
We did talk yesterday about bracketology. I know that Joe Lunardi came up with an updated one today. Jerry Palm yesterday, 6 seed for Illinois. Today, Joe Lunardi, 5 seed for Illinois with the arrow that you like to see trending upwards with their stock. If they win against Indiana, Ohio State, chance to push the 4 seed. Still a lot to be played for here in the last 2 months of the season, but it's great to see it. And the parallels between those 2 previous seasons, they were pretty good. This team having that upside once again to go deep in the tournament and to make some noise. Maybe hopefully some more noise when it comes to March, but great stuff. We'll talk more about Illinois basketball. Kind of a big picture, Big Ten view, and I do want to hit on that playoff game last night where the Cowboys got one in Tampa. We'll do all that coming up next. It is The Drive.
CU at home has their One winter night, the first Friday in February, as the Venue CU serves as host to sponsors and volunteers to raise funds for those without a home. The keynote speaker, George Dennehy, will talk about overcoming adversity with a powerful story of hope. Visit his website, thatarmlessguy.com. CDJ Broadcasting is proud of the awareness created starting at 6 p.m. Friday, February 3rd.